Thank you, Barney. We're going to read from Isaiah chapter 11. Hopefully it'll come up on screen. There it is. Wow, excellent. In my Bible, if you picked up one of the Bibles as you came in, it's on page 696, so you can turn to it there as well. A shoot will come up from the stump of Jesse. From his roots a branch will bear fruit. The Spirit of the Lord will rest on him, the Spirit of wisdom and of understanding, the Spirit of counsel and of power, the Spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord, and he will delight in the fear of the Lord. He will not judge by what he sees with his eyes or decide by what he hears with his ears, but with righteousness he will judge the needy. With justice he will give decisions for the poor of the earth. He will strike the earth with the rod of his mouth, with the breath of his lips he will slay the wicked. Righteousness will be his belt, and faithfulness the sash round his waist. The wolf will live with the lamb. The leopard will lie down with the goat. The calf and the lion and the yearling together, and a little child will lead them. The cow will feed with the bear, and the young will lie down together. And the lion will eat straw like the ox. The infant will play near the hole of the cobra, and the young child put his hand into the viper's nest. They will neither harm nor destroy on all my holy mountain, for the earth will be full of the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. In that day, the root of Jesse will stand as a banner for the peoples. The nations will rally to him, and his place of rest will be glorious. Let's just spend a moment in prayer as we begin. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you sent your Son, the Prince of Peace. And Lord, now as we look at what it means for Jesus to be the Prince of Peace, will you come by your Holy Spirit, open our hearts and our minds, that we will not just understand, but we would own these truths this morning. Amen. So Barney's asked me to do a little bit of an introduction for those who don't know me yet. I am the Reverend Peter Old. You can probably tell from the bit of white plastic around my neck. I was a full-time Church of England preacher for about 5 or 6 years. We moved to Canterbury about 2 years ago. Took a little rest from that. I'm currently working for a risk consultancy doing very clever things for banks with hard sums. That's what I do to earn my living. You might not know, but in fact, about a third of all clergy in the Church of England under the age of about 65, so under retirement age, are actually not not doing easy full-time vicary jobs like some people, but are out there in the real world doing your kind of life and understanding your problems. So, you know, there you are for that. That's my introduction. There will be peace. There will be peace is the title today. And Advent is a time when we look forward to the coming of Jesus. And we have all these wonderful passages in the Old Testament, all these great titles about Jesus. One of the titles is Jesus, the Prince of Peace. Well, in the modern Church of England, we like to encourage interactivity and stuff like that. So I'm going to stick a photo up on screen. And can anybody tell me what this is when it comes up? Hooray! Anybody tell me what that is? The Wailing Wall, otherwise known as the Western Wall. It is that wall there is the wall of the foundation of the temple in Jerusalem. It's where Jews go to pray. You can see them there. And they sort of stand there in that kind of Jewish fashion with their prayer books, reading it backwards because they're really clever. And you know, you've sort of seen them sort of swaying like that. The story goes of a TV journalist who moved out to Jerusalem a few years ago. And one of her colleagues said to her, "You have got to go and meet this guy. This Jewish guy has been praying at the Western Wall for 60 years. I mean, you've just got to go and interview him. He's an amazing guy." So she heads off with her TV crew and she's, you know, she meets him and she says, "Hello, sir. My name is Katie something from Sky News. I understand you've been at this wall for 60 years praying." And he goes, "Yes, I have." And she says, "Well, what do you pray for?" He says, "I pray for peace. I pray for peace. I stand here every day reading my book backwards because I'm very clever. I stand there praying. I pray for peace between Christians and Muslims and Jews. I pray for peace in all the countries of the world where there is conflict and war, where people are suffering. Every day I come here and pray for peace. And the journalist turns to him and says, as you're standing there every day, reading your book backwards because you're clever and banging and doing that, how do you feel? After 60 years, he says, I feel like I'm banging my head against the wall. That's the truth, isn't it? The truth. When we talk about peace and all the nice things around peace, it feels like we're banging our head against the wall. Just have a look at the world today. The world is not peaceful. You know? 20 years after the end of the Cold War, when we thought, everything's now the Cold War's over, everything's now going to be better, there are more wars and more conflicts in the world than ever. There are more people dying. There are genocides. What does it mean for Jesus to be Prince of Peace in the light of everything that is going on in the world? Well, this morning we're going to have a quick look at Jesus as the source of our peace. And we're then going to look at three different ways in which he is bringing us peace. So firstly, Jesus as a source of peace. We saw that in our reading this morning in the first three verses. He's described as a shoot from the stump of Jesse. Jesse, of course, being David's father. David being the anointed king over Israel. When the Israelites wanted their own king, and pick, you know, and then go, so go and then have Saul. And he ended up being a complete waste of space. God then chose his own king, David. And Jesus is described as being in the line of David. Like, think of David as an awesome king, and then Jesus is so much more there. He is described as a branch that bears fruit. Because for so long, at the time of Jesus' birth, the Israelites, the Jews, had not seen fruit. They were a conquered people. They were living under the Romans. And the symbol of Judah, which is a vine, which you can see, you could have seen on the temples, was just not true. There was no fruit bearing. It's described as though the Spirit rests on him. A spirit of wisdom and understanding, of counsel and of might, of knowledge and fear of the Lord. This is Jesus. This is Jesus being described here in our reading this morning. So, the first way Jesus brings peace. He brings peace for us with God. Because as we know, there is a problem with human beings, okay? Stick your hand up if you've got a problem. Everybody stick your hand up. You've all got a problem, okay? This is not a psychoanalysis session, though if you want to do that afterwards, I charge reasonable rates. We have a problem. Problem with humans is that we sin. We are rebels against God. And sin is not just the little things that we do, yeah? It's a much deeper problem. It's our state of heart. We are rebels against God. And God is going to judge us for our rebellion against him. Now, I'm hoping you've all heard that before this morning, but you might not have. But it's the truth. The Bible tells us very clearly, we will be judged because of our rebellion against God. God knows everything about us. All the other people here in this room, they can only see the stuff that you let them see. And the stuff that you put on Facebook. Did you know that? People can actually see what you put on Facebook. Some people do not seem to realize that. But God sees everything. He doesn't judge with eyes and ears. He probes into your heart. He knows your mind. He understands your soul. You are stuffed. Seriously. Seriously. You will be judged for your attitude of heart, for your rebellion against God. But here's the thing. The great promise, why Christmas is such an amazing time, is because this baby born in the manger is going to save us, is going to die on a cross and take upon himself all the punishment that should come on us. Jesus' death is the source of our peace with God. That is the first reason why he's the Prince of Peace. You know, the gospel It's not just God loves you. It really isn't. That's just part of it. The word gospel means good news, and the gospel isn't good news without the bad news it replaces, which is judgment. The good news is God loves you, and he sent Jesus to die for you so you can be at peace with God. We are all rebels against God until we accept Jesus' death for our sins. So let me just take this moment. You may have been coming here for years. But you're sat here right now thinking, you know what, I am actually still a rebel against God. You need to sort it out. And Christmas is the best time of year to do that. We are rebels against God until we accept Jesus' death for our sins. And then we are at peace with God. And when I gave my life to Jesus, when I said to Jesus, you know what, I'm a sinner, I cannot sort it out, but I believe that you died on the cross for me, I got forgiveness, got filled by the Holy Spirit, I was at peace with God. We sang that fantastic hymn, O Come, Emmanuel. It has this great verse, O come, thou rod of Jesse, free thine own from Satan's tyranny, from depths of hell thy people save, and give them victory o'er the grave. Rejoice, rejoice, Emmanuel shall come to thee, O Israel. Rejoice, SMB. Jesus has come for you and given you peace with God. The second way that Jesus is the Prince of Peace and that he brings peace is that he puts us at peace with each other. If we are forgiven by God, then we can forgive everybody else. And this is a key biblical concept I'm going to stick on screen right now. It is this. The Bible says it is God who exacts vengeance, not us. Vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. Okay? God is not a fluffy, lovely, wobbly little God who loves everybody and sin's okay and that'll all be wiped out. God is going to come to judge sin, but he's going to do it. It's not our job. It's not to say that we shouldn't have laws and lock up people who try to kill you and stuff like that. But on the whole, as Christians, it's not our job to take vengeance. The transformation that comes by the Holy Spirit when we are put at peace with God should empower us to let go of our own agenda of vengeance and hand it over to God so that wolves can literally lie with lambs. Now, I love this picture. It is just a metaphor, okay, guys? Right, where it says here, the young child shall put his hand into the viper's nest, okay? We're not snake handlers here. It is just a metaphor, okay? Sounds to me like it's like a TV show, you know? I'm a messianic prophecy. Get me out of here. Okay? So I don't advise taking your toddlers and letting them stick their hands into cobra pits. But you see the picture that God is building for us. We can be at peace with those who we don't want to be at peace with. You can be at peace with those who have wronged you. God can empower you to forgive, to live in peace. How does this happen? It happens very simply. When we become at peace with God and let his Holy Spirit fill us, he changes our hearts. We let God change our hearts. Those are two slightly different things, aren't they? Sometimes God goes, zoom, I'm going to change you now. Like that. I had a friend who was addicted to cocaine, got saved, it went. At the same time, he was also an alcoholic. And he's still addicted to alcohol. Hasn't touched a drop now for 30 years. So God changed him. And at the same time, he said to God, help me to change. God has promised, that promise to the prophet Jeremiah, promised to write his law on our hearts. What that means is that he transforms us in our very inner being. We want to do the right thing. Let's choose, as the people of God, at peace, to forgive. Let's learn what it is to live in a community that practices that. Get stuck into fellowship in this church. This is a great church. Trust me, I've been in churches that make this church look awesome. You know? Let me tell you, somebody wearing this little piece of plastic on it, it is sometimes a wailing wall moment. Trying to get people to join fellowship groups and home groups and get stuck in. Trust me, if you're scared that you're going to have to go somewhere and talk to people who you don't know and share your life, this is a good thing. This is what God made you for, okay? He made you to be in relationship, to learn what it is to forgive, to live in peace. If God can manage to be a relationship for all eternity as Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, I think it's not beyond us to have a go. So Jesus has come so we can have peace. Now, I don't suggest for a moment that is always easy. Sometimes it is a very hard thing. Sometimes people do things to you that are truly awful. But time and time again, the people of God have learnt that as they let go of their desire for vengeance, as they forgive somebody, that God does amazing things both in their life and in the life of that person. The best advice ever given to me by someone on this was quite simply, if you don't like someone, start praying for them. Not in a kind of, you know, Lord, I don't like Barney because he never picks me for anything. So Lord, heap down curses upon him. Not in that kind of way, right? I would never think of doing that to you much. Not in that kind of way, guys. But more, if somebody has attacked you, damaged you, pray for them. Pray for their good. Love your enemies. Pray for them. It begins to transform your heart. And you know what? If you haven't done it, start doing it today. Because I guarantee you there'll be a few people here that as we talk about this subject, the Holy Spirit is touching you and you're going, yeah, but this person did this to me. You know? They made me watch Teletubbies. Something really despicably evil like that. But in all seriousness, you're sat here today going, I cannot forgive this person. I cannot pray for them. How can I possibly do that? Come and talk to us. Let us help you to do that. Let us walk with you. Let us be fellowship and community together. Help us to help you see healing and peace in your life. So Christ, as a Prince of Peace, helps us be at peace with each other. And finally, Jesus is the one finally bringing peace. At this time of year, where as clergy we wear purple all the time, don't we, Barney? At this time of year, we've got a few. I'm loving this. Really, it's like, Barney, it's a pink candle. At this time of year, as we look forward to Christ's first coming, we also traditionally look forward to Christ's final second coming. Have you heard about that? Right? Because the first coming, I was a bit subdued, a bit low key, okay? Right? This one is going to be a big one, okay? You will not miss it. Okay? This is not a case of setting your Sky Plus box to record it and then you can come and watch it afterwards while you've been out at a party with your mate. You will not miss it. Okay? Jesus is coming back. And boy, is he coming back. Jesus is coming back and he's coming back to judge the world. This time he is coming back with his sword in his mouth. And with the angel armies, and if you are not on his side, run away fast. Jesus is coming to exact vengeance upon evil, so we don't have to do it. Do you see? We can be at peace with others, we can forgive them, because it's not our job to fight the final fight. verses 12 to 16 after what we read are a picture of this. If you want your mind to really blow out, go and do some Weirdsville and go and read Revelation. Clue guides, it's not a literal description, okay? Not a literal description. It's like a metaphor for Jesus coming back and kicking some. There is a battle coming. I avoided using the word. There is a battle coming where all injustice and rebellion against God will be defeated. And you know what? I think often human understandings of peace are woefully inadequate, okay? When you look at the Bible, when the Bible talks about peace, it is not talking about the absence of fighting. It's not talking about the absence of fighting. That is not biblical peace. Biblical peace is the absence of reasons to fight. Do you see the difference? Biblical peace is the absence of rebellion against God. We don't need to fight those who oppose us or injure us because Jesus will do that. Jesus' second coming will be the last great fight before universal peace. And you know what? If you are at peace with God, you are on the winning side. But you know what? If you are not at peace with God, you will not be on the winning side. I need to tell you that, guys. I hope you all are at peace with God. But Jesus is coming. So, our job is simply this, is to proclaim that coming peace and to tell people how they can get on the winning side. I've done that this morning. Give your life to Jesus. Recognize you are a rebel. Hand your life over. Surrender. Do it now before it's too late. We do our bit right now to show what the peace will look like. We live in community right now, peacefully, forgiving each other, bearing with our sins, helping through the struggles. But we can never achieve that universal peace until Jesus comes back. Advent looks forward, not just to Jesus' first coming, but to that second coming. That second coming that we sang about this morning. He is the true Prince of Peace. So, three challenges as we finish. Firstly, corny title. Got your piece of peace? Are you at peace with God? If not, this morning, get it sorted. Be at peace with God, because if you're not at peace with God, Are you at peace with those around you? If not, start to be so. If you find it hard, and you know what, some really awful things happen to us. If you find it hard, talk to some of us. Talk to your fellowship group leader. Talk to someone who you trust. Talk to Barney. Finally, are you looking forward to the coming peace? Because if you're not, if you haven't thought about, if you just don't think about Jesus coming back, get the right perspective. Because if you realize that Jesus is coming back to judge evil, to take vengeance against sin, then you will want to be at peace with God and you will want to be at peace with others. We're going to close by bringing up this verse that we sang this morning. It's an awesome, awesome Advent hymn. And what I want you to do, just to close your eyes for a moment. Everybody in the church, close your eyes. I'm going to speak these words over you. I'm going to speak them as a proclamation of the coming Prince of Peace and his power to set you at peace with God and to set you at peace with your neighbor. So let's pray. Yea, amen. Let all adore thee, high on thy eternal throne. Saviour, take the power and glory, claim the kingdom for thy own. Alleluia. 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 Everlasting God, come down. Amen.
Let's continue just to respond to God. Maybe keep our heads bowed and just allow the Holy Spirit to continue to minister to us. So we think about peace. Father God, we thank you that peace is available. That we can know you and know your love for us. Thank you that we have been reconciled back to you and that peace with you is available if we have turned to you. Lord, we pray that living in the knowledge of that, that peace may infect all of our life. It may flow through our life and into the relationships around us. Lord, if we are here this morning and we know we have not got peace with someone, we ask that by your Holy Spirit you may give us the strength to forgive and the strength to be reconciled back to that person. Lord, thank you that you place us in fellowship. Lord, may we make the most of that fellowship and live in that peace, knowing that you will come one day to fully establish your peace. And so, Lord, work in us. Continue to transform us. Lord, continue that work. May we see all that we have in you. May we see that we are on your side, on that side of peace, and live and work and walk in that peace each day. Let's stand and respond to God with some worship.